Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Any questions tonight?
No.
Well, not to worry. We'll wait, see if some other people come on.
Right. I did enjoy reading the rest of the handouts from Monday night's class with the, I think it was about the reincarnation of Balaam and connected to the golden calf. And I looked up the psalm because I didn't remember it saying the calf was eating grass. And my version didn't quite say it that way, but I could see where it would fit.
Where it was in the Hebrew.
Well,
Yeah.
it was Psalm 106, I believe, but that was Monday, so I don't know. Numbers don't stick with me too
Understand.
well. But I did find it.
I'm finding reading the English translations of the RE each week has really been very beneficial.
It has been.
I just wish it was they would print the Hebrew writings so we could see where their translations came from. But we do the best we can with what's there. I
Well,
believe
I
some other
didn't
people
look
can.
at the Hebrew, but I'm going to do that. I've got my son's book out, and I have the little thin, little small version, and it's a little print, so I'll check my big version.
Understand. Believe some other people came on, so does anybody have any questions? I hear people. Is anybody there? Are you hearing me?
Well, I still hear you, so.
Okay. Well, that's a good sign.
Hello, I was muted. I'm sorry, I couldn't get on.
Not a problem, Judy. Do you have any questions for tonight?
No. I may before the night's over.
I'm sorry, you broke up. Say it again.
I said I may before the class is over.
That I understand. It tends to so one question tends to ignite others, but we got to have a first
Right.
question to begin.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Malka. My
Welcome.
question, hello. I have a question about a soul being born into this world on the Sabbath versus a soul that was born on a weekday, the mundane week versus the Sabbath. Is there a difference in the if the soul was born on the Sabbath, is that in the world of creation? I mean, we're all born in the world of creation, but I guess my question is there a I think I heard somewhere is when they when a daughter is born, she's called a daughter of Hashem if she was born on the Sabbath.
I'm not sure where you heard that, because I hadn't heard it that way.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's incorrect. I've just never heard it.
Well, one of the Psalms refers to Bat HaMelech. Is it 34 or I don't remember.
It's not 34, but yes, there is a psalm that has the language of Bat HaMelech, the daughter of the king.
Right.
But the Sabbath would be known as Hamalka, that Sabbath of the queen, or the daughter of the queen.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say Bathsheba is the daughter of the seventh, meaning the daughter of Malchut. And I also just wanted to correct Malka with the idea that it's the physical world is described as the Olam Asiyah, the world of action. And you had said the world of creation, which would be the Olam Briyah. And that would have nothing. The world of Atzilut, the souls of the children of Israel originate in Olam Atzilut. If they don't complete their tikkun, depending on the actions that they did in that lifetime, their souls could originate for the next lifetime in the Olam Briyah. Ultimately, they will elevate back to the world of Atzilut in one of their lifetimes as they complete their tikkun. The children of the other nations originate in the Olam Briyah. And again, depending on their tikkun and what they do in this lifetime, they can originate in the world of Zerantin, Olam Yetzirah. But again, they will, as they achieve their tikkun, they will elevate so that their next lifetime will come from the Olam Briyah, or back again to Olam Briyah. And as they choose and elevate to become children of Israel, their soul will originate in the Olam Atzilut.
Okay. I was trying to see if there was a connection if you were born on weekdays versus Sabbath. And if that was the reason, if you were born on weekdays, it's the reason why you were called a convert versus being born on a Sabbath.
No.
Okay.
The being born on the Sabbath means that your tikkun, one of your tikkuns. Give me one second, and I'll speak on it at length.
Okay, I was going to say that you have a handout on your website about, you know, what day of the week you were born on, that you can see one of your areas of tikkun to work on. And I think with Shabbat, it included all the days of the week. I don't remember which handout.
No, I can tell you where to find it. It's on the Mazel Knowledge pages. No, it's on the Revealed Wisdom pages below what we've described as the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. If you go down, you'll see links to the tikkun based on the day of the week that you're born. If you go further down, you'll see tikkun based on the year you were born. And then you will, if you go further down, you'll see tikkun based on the generation that you're looking at. So people have tikkunim, as we all know. People have corrections. So you have a correction based on the day of the month you're born. You have a correction based on the day of the week you're born. You have a correction based on the month that you're born. You have a correction based on the year that you're born. You have a correction based on the generation that you are involved with. And you will have a generational tikkun based on 7 years, a generation of 10 years, a generation of 13 years, a generation of 18 years, a generation of 21 years, of 26 years, probably 24 as well, a generation of 31 years, 36 years, 37 years, 41 years, 42 years, 45 years, and 49 years, and as well as 50 years. So you belong to all of those different generations. And the tikkun of each of those generations is different. And depending on what your path is and what your tikkun and how you deal with it, you can learn all about those, or you can just go through your life and that's, you'll experience the tikkun. Maybe you'll be aware of it, maybe you won't. But the important tikkun is based on your north node. That's an overall, because that's based on what mistakes you made in your previous lifetime, and then what life lessons you came to learn in this lifetime. And that's based on your north and south nodes at the moment of your birth. And all of that is on the, all of that is on the Yeshem website, except that I have never had time to go in and calculate all of the different tikkunim for all of the different years and for all of the different months and all of the different generations.
So in pinpointing your north and south mode or node, you said node, right? N-O-D-E.
N-O-D-E,
is that something we need to contact you about? Or is that something we can look up on the webpage?
I haven't put it on the webpage. I keep thinking to myself I should do so, but I haven't yet. So if you send me, you know, your birth date, actually all you need to send me is the day, the month, day, and year of your birth, and I'll send you back your north node and direct you to which link, which is basically every month when we do the Rosh Chodesh blog, that blog at the bottom of it will have the tikkun for that north node.
So each month that changes?
It changes every 18 months.
Every 18 months.
But it's all,
okay.
But it's related to the it's related to where the north node it was on your birth date as to which astrological sign the north node is in.
Is this on the Hebrew calendar as in birth date? Or is it based
yes.
on the... Okay.
Well, the list of dates I have is based on the secular world, secular calendar.
So you go by the secular calendar?
Well, you can go by the secular calendar. It's really the list I have is based on the Hebrew calendar, but they're telling us they're calculating it with the secular dates, but it's really based on the Hebrew calendar. But I will caution you, and I've been in the astrology section of the weekly email. I have been utilizing the sidereal astrology tools. And so the North Node, because it's an 18-month cycle, for most people will be correct. But for some, it will not. It will have moved into a different ones. And I don't have a chart of the sidereal, the North Node based on the sidereal calendar. Or the sidereal astrology. And that's something that as soon as I find the funds to purchase a computer program, I would be able to calculate.
Okay.
But I'd rather invest the money in getting the Gematria tool working automatically. So that would be my first priority.
Okay.
So I hope I'm not confusing you with sidereal and back and forth and what is. For most people, the North Node will not change. But for some, it will, especially the people born in the... with a North Node in Scorpio or in Sagittarius, because that's where the 13th astrology sign is typically located.
Okay, well, I think you told me my North Node was Scorpio. I'm Aquarian, but. But when you first introduced me to Zion Nefesh, he was doing a program. I think it was like $36. And he printed out, you know, he sent it to you by email. And I have that. And it was pretty in-depth. I don't see that he still does it. But from time to time, I'll look at it.
His wife was doing it, and he's moved away from it, primarily because of the, he didn't get a lot of revenue from it, so he was moving in a different direction. But he was doing it based on the secular Western astrology. He was not doing it on the Kabbalistic astrology, and he wasn't doing it on sidereal astrology. There is a woman doing Hebrew astrology, not Kabbalistic astrology, but Hebrew astrology based on the Western system. And she's going by the name Astrologew or something like that. Astrologew. And she just got some type of a degree in something in the Jewish academic world. So she's been catching up on doing those charts for people. I'm not sure what she charges. You could look it up. But you know, to me the real, if you understand why there is a 13th sign, and if you understand why the three outer planets can be utilized, And if you understand the nature of the size of the formations of the various astrological signs, because like Pisces is much broader in the degrees of the circle than the 30 degrees that is standard that's used in the Western world. So once you understand all that, as you know, I did some research on it, it became clear to me that the sidereal approach makes more sense in our generation. But that's my opinion. You need to evaluate it for yourself. Because and what I have been teaching in the weekly astrology is that if there's different relationships between an inner planet and an outer planet, meaning the outer three versus the inner seven, that would only apply to children of Israel who had reached a level of spiritual growth that those outer three planets are impacting them. But for most people, the outer three planets do not impact. So you have to really evaluate it, and it has to always be relative to the person.
Well, I notice even the day of the week, I was born like an hour before Shabbat on a Friday afternoon. You know how you're always rushing just before Shabbat begins, you know, to get everything ready. And that's the story of my life. I'm always rushing to, you know, to finish things. Oh, and then as far as the generational, I felt like with a maiden name of Heber, spelled H-E-B-E-R, it's so close to Ivri. It means, you know, either. That it was that conversion to come back to the, you know, the idea that Hashem is the ultimate sovereign, because for at least three or four generations, on one side of my family, they were all Catholic. And so I felt like that was my generational cocoon, was conversion. Okay. Now, I've often wondered with those persons who don't actually go through a formal conversion process, you know, with a rabbi and the mikveh, and are they the only ones that are considered becoming children of Israel, you know, of being a convert, let me put it that way? Or if one simply hasn't actually gone through the steps of connecting with a rabbi and going through a formal conversion, does Hashem still look upon them as converts?
I'm going to answer that question. Before I answer that question, I will answer the question, but before I answer the question, I want to make a comment. Your conversion is a personal tikkun. A generational tikkun is the correction of every person in that born in those years. So if you're looking at a 26-year generation, every person born in the 26 years, with your birth year being the first year, and then every person born in the next additional 25 years, you all have a similar tikkun for the generation. You know, you have all of these studies about, not studies, but you have all the older people say that the younger generation doesn't know what they're doing. And, you know, you can't, it's all of the various comments that we all have heard over the over our lifetime. When we were young, it was, you know, they were saying it about us, and now we say it about the younger generations. As an example, the generation between the First and the Second World War, their purpose was to create the state, modern state of Israel. That was their generational tikkun. That's just an example. So I wanted to clarify that your conversion is not a generational conversion. It's not a generational tikkun. It is your personal tikkun, and we're glad you did it. Now, with respect to the other aspects that you were talking about, I lost my train of thought. What was the question we were talking about with the other generation that I put aside for the minute?
Well, I think what I was asking was whether or not you had to actually go through a formal conversion.
Okay. I remember that.
A rabbi, you know, or, you know, like yeah. I have one friend who, she just went to the river on her own and, you know, and she considers herself Jewish, but she doesn't go to a synagogue, and she's never gone through a formal conversion, but she considers herself Jewish. And,
well,
you know,
well,
I wouldn't say anything
I'll
to her, but, you know.
I understand the question now, and I'm glad you, I think there's no coincidence. With respect to the woman that you just spoke about, a child of Israel as a woman, whether she went through the mikveh herself or she went through the mikveh and is recognized by the religion, by the Orthodox world or the Reform world, these are the individual tikkunim of those people. So a woman or a couple or a man who goes through a Reform conversion, we all know that's not recognized by the Orthodox world. But the person can be living a Jewish lifestyle according to the Reform customs. According to the Orthodoxy, they're not Jewish. According to the Reform movement, they are. Now, the question you're asking is, what does Hashem say? And the answer is, it's relative to the soul. Because you have to realize, someone who went through a Reform conversion and they had a child, and that child falls in love with an Orthodox man, can that child marry the Orthodox man? They have to find a rabbi willing to marry them. They have to find a justice of the peace willing to marry them. They would have to live a Jewish lifestyle separate from a community. Well, that's not the Jewish path. By the same token, there are times in individuals' process and tikkunim where they need to be separate from a community. And that's the that tension within Judaism between, do I have a minion to pray with or do I pray alone? That same tension applies to individual people. So in one lifetime, they may be that they're living a Jewish lifestyle, but out in the woods where there's no minion. And they're meditating and they're connecting to Hashem. Oh, is the Orthodox community going to accept that as a converted Jew? No, But will Hashem accept them? Hashem accepts everybody who uses the tools.
Mm-hmm.
So can you say to somebody, you didn't go through the conversion, or show me your conversion paper? The reality is, if someone says to you, I'm a Jew, it's your responsibility to accept them as a Jew, except for one area of life. And that area of life is your child going to marry that person? In that event, you are entitled to question the legitimacy of their conversion only with respect to the marriage, not to say, oh, you're not Jewish, just for the discussion of the marriage. And in today's world, what child is going to listen to what parent who says they're not Jewish, we've raised, you know, they're Reform and we're Orthodox, you can't marry them? And what child is going to listen to that? Now, many do. Some do. And then you're reading a lot of articles in the various Orthodox magazines about how children are leaving the Derech, and that they're living a conservative lifestyle. They join a conservative shul. They're still practicing the mitzvot. Your question is this a Jew? It's not up to us to question it. If the person says, I'm Jewish, we accept it. The only area we don't accept it and we are entitled to delve into and evaluate it is in the area of marriage of our children or marriage of ourselves.
Or making aliyah. Oh, gosh, did we ever
Making aliyah, actually, the halakha does not allow the Orthodox rabbis to question that. But they do anyway, because we are living in a generation where the souls of the rabbis are related to the Erev Rav. The root of their soul is Erev Rav. So that's why you get this idea that, oh, we're trying to keep it all pure, and therefore we need to question whether they have the right of return according to the secular Israeli law, which is evaluated by the Orthodox rabbis. Doesn't make any sense, but what else in life doesn't make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, they investigated us over a year, and finally our papers were sent to Jerusalem. And it turned out the person who was in charge of our papers, I had listed two people that we knew in Israel. One of them is our guest that are coming tomorrow. And that person knew, his name is Jerry, and the person who had charge of doing the research on our papers knew Jerry for 7 years. So she just picked up the phone and called and said, are they kosher? And that's how we got approved. And I thought, what's the likelihood of our papers going to someone who, you know, we knew? I mean,
the answer to that is it's part of your tikkun. Because how many people, they don't do that, and they have to go through a rigmarole of questioning to verify and prove them.
Oh, we did that. We had to go to Houston, I think, 3 times to be interviewed. We were interviewed over the telephone. If I tell you, every time they'd send us a set of papers with questions, and, oh, they wanted to know classes you had taken, who was your rabbi, just And as soon as you would turn that in, a month or so later, you'd get another set of papers. I mean,
right.
That went over. Oh, it was over a year. And then finally
that's all part of the process.
And I had to prove that I had
making it difficult to convert. You know, the halakha is to turn the person away three times because it's not easy to be Jewish.
Yeah.
And so you don't want somebody think about somebody who made the conversion in Poland in 1938. And how happy they were, they made the conversion. And then it comes September 1939, and they're moved into the Warsaw Ghetto, or the, you know, however their process was. This is all personal tikkun, based on the previous lifetimes. So, you know, it's not that I'm saying that the Orthodox rabbis are wrong in what they're doing. I'm just saying when I read the halakha, can I question whether someone else is Jewish? And the answer I received clearly is no, except in this one area. And here they are doing it. By extension, they're saying making aliyah to Israel can only be a Jewish soul. And so we need to verify that for the person's protection. That's their rationale and justification.
Mm-hmm.
But when you understand what the root of their soul is, it raises doubts, unfortunately. Are there any other questions? Malki, you still there? Did I answer your question?
Yes, sir.
I don't think I did. I don't think I did, actually. Because you asked, if you're born on Shabbat, does it mean you're special? Essentially what you were asking. And the answer is, every person is special, whether you're born on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Shabbat. But someone who passes on Shabbat, that's a very special event.
Okay, I believe that's I thought I remembered you telling us that, because Brandy's lady that she was taking care of.
I told Brandy that that was a significant event that she passed on Shabbat.
And also holidays,
It's personal tikkun. The fact that she passed on Shabbat, or someone passes on Shabbat, it's an indication of the specialness of a completion of a tikkun, but doesn't tell you which one. Doesn't mean that there aren't others that are still left undone, that the person will have to reincarnate to return and complete.
Well, we just got the news that certain
tikkunim of that person have been passed, have been completed.
Well, I couldn't remember if you passed away on Shabbat if you bypassed Gehinnom.
The study of Torah is what bypasses Gehinnom.
Okay.
Now, as I understand it, speaking of this woman, is Brandy on the phone? Because I don't want to cause any pain.
I don't think so.
Um, as I understand it, this woman was not Jewish. So the idea of her passing on Shabbat is significant, but it's clearly that she would need to return because she has the process to go through to become a child of Noah, assuming she wasn't in this lifetime, and she probably was from what Brandy had said. But she needs to move forward into the becoming a child of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But if she studied the Bible, then she won't, you know, if she's a child of Israel and she studies Torah, she does not go to Gehinnom. She needs to reincarnate because that's a more merciful effect than receiving the cleansing in Gehinnom. Even though to us, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's more merciful.
Well, I just hope that if we have to reincarnate, that it's in Israel next time, and a good family, and a religious family, that we don't have to go through what we've gone through in this, with this round. It's really a wrestling and a struggle, you know.
I hear you.
And very,
but just for the record, you're not going to have to reincarnate because you're not going to die. Because I have to live at least another 300 years plus, and you have to stick around to prove me right.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I have to stick around to keep editing. Because when I felt like I haven't done a mitzvah for the day, I go sit at the computer and find one for your handouts. To edit or something I haven't finished, so I can say, oh, at least I got one mitzvah today besides the, you know, everything else. Oh, I feel like
Understand.
All I've been doing is cooking for 2 months, you know. I thought today I probably could feed all those people that came into the country illegally. You know, they could just come on over here and feed for months.
Think about the cocoon of those children and those parents, though.
I know. Mm. And it's always two sides to a story, you know.
Always is.
And we're probably feeling that because of turning away the Jews, you know, during World War II. So we probably earned what's happening now. That may not be the way to word it, but the boomerang effect of, you know. So. Well, Marco, that was a good question.
I'm a Wednesday baby based on the Hebrew calendar. Brian and I were looking at that today on the Hebrew calendar as to what day it was that he was born. And then
myself. Oh, you
must have
did all that for your class,
right.
For the class, you know.
Right. And he was born on the Sabbath, and he was real excited about that. And I told him that I would ask the question for him, and that's why I asked
his question. His tikkun being born on the Sabbath, his tikkun is manifestation. And I was also born on the Sabbath. And my tikkun is manifestation. Now, what does that mean? It's all going to be relative to the people. You know, my claim to fame, if there is a claim to fame, and I believe me, there isn't, was that I was born, I believe, in the same minute that the United Nations General Assembly authorized the modern state of Israel on November 29th, 1947. And then it was manifested in May by declaring the state. And that brought about the War of Independence in 1948.
Mm-hmm.
So take a look at what happened on that Saturday in the secular world when he was born.
Well, I asked what time he was born, and he said he doesn't know. And his mother's still alive, but she has dementia, so she probably wouldn't remember. But he said his older brother, they have the same birth date, so he would possibly remember, you know,
Where was he born?
Where was he born?
Yeah. Was he born in the United States?
Yes. Yes, Louisiana.
On his birth certificate.
Yeah, that's what
his
I told him.
His birth certificate should have a time.
Mine does not. Mine does not have a time on it. And my parents have passed. But I told him to look on his.
I have Brian's birthday is the 26th of Nisan, 5726.
Right. Did he say what time he was born? Because
no.
If it's after,
that's why giving your Hebrew names and what was your birth dates, you know, because we did something for your birthdays every year. Remember, we divided your name in syllables and that kind of thing. And I did it when it was your birthday. Mm-hmm. So,
I said now if it's after sunset, then of course, you know, you weren't born on the Sabbath after Saturday, or were you a Friday, you know, sunset to Saturday sunset? So he's going to check on that. But I said it could make a little difference if it's, you know, he thought he was born during the day. So he said he'd check that out. So I said, and when we're talking about converts, and I was talking about a Sabbath, then you must have been born in the, I was trying to distinguish the worlds with him, you know, tell him about the different worlds, different formation, creation formation, you know, action, da-da-da-da. And I said, I checked mine, and I'm a Wednesday. And I said, I'm the convert. And you're the children of Israel. And he looked at me like, "Ooh, my." He said, "This is, I said, "Yeah, you need to be, you need to pay attention to what we're studying."
Well, we gave him the name of Aaron Levi, Aharon Levi.
Yeah.
And it was because of what he told me. I don't know if he had gone through the DNA bit. I don't remember the details. But because of what he told me, that was the name I gave him. Aaron from the tribe of Levi, you know. So.
It's like, yeah, I was just joking with them. Said the convert teaching the child of Israel, that is not right. You should be teaching me.
Oh, but the actual in the secular world, the it's the converts who have the most passion.
And he
has. I find most people are afraid of us. They're really afraid of us. I don't know if afraid would be the right adjective, but, you know, it's sometimes they're very uncomfortable around us. So.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
It's because of the passion that you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's what comes through.
Well, they don't understand it. I know when we were a class of maybe six studying Hebrew, and I got partnered with a one person that was born Jewish. And it really shocked me because she said, you know, this is really embarrassing for me that I'm having to learn Hebrew with a non-Jew, and then I'm being partnered with a convert. Well, the teacher was also a convert. And I just tried to pass it over. I said, we have to realize, you know, I was a teacher. So I just have the natural yearning to study and mm-hmm. research and all, you know, to not make her feel bad. And but anyway, we got to be good friends. In fact, she helped us get the house that we have now. She was in real estate, so.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Any other questions?
Yes, Hanok, I have a question. It's a little bit a different subject, but I was just wondering if you had any insight on the Yellowstone, the largest geyser that's been erupting three times in the last couple of months, and how the scientists are very puzzled why this, you know, this thing in Yellowstone is erupting like it has been. I just wonder if you had any insight about.
Well, number one, I wasn't aware of any unusual volcanic activity in Yellowstone. I was aware of it in Hawaii. Is that what? So, are you talking about the one in Hawaii or the one in?
This one here in Yellowstone has scientists really puzzled right now because it's the largest geyser, and underneath it, they say it's like a super volcano, and so they're wondering. They use the term sleeping giant. Why it has awakened and has erupted three times, I think March 15th, April 19th, and April 27th. That's three times in a quick, you know, like sessions that it has actually blown like it has. And so they're just really puzzled why they call it the sleeping giant has awakened. And so they don't know if it's related to the volcano, you know, action in Hawaii, but they're kind of concerned about it. And so, because it hasn't. You know, haven't erupted in years, so I just didn't know if you had any insight about it, you know.
Okay. The way I would address it is as what occurs to me is as you were talking and as you're asking the question, and I'm thinking about it. So
mm-hmm.
take it with a grain of salt. But a volcano is fire. It's heat. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's the magma level. It's the internal looking to expand. Mountains grow a half an inch a year. So over a century, a mountain gets 25 inches taller. I'm just making up the number. I haven't calculated. But the world expands, the mountains grow, the volcanoes erupt for that purpose. If man does not interfere in the natural progress of the desire to receive getting larger, you're going to grow a half an inch a year. But because man's activity interferes, so sometimes we block the growth, sometimes it explodes back and forth. The cycle is corrupted by man's actions. And one of the important things to realize, you came into this world to correct the negative actions, the negative personality traits, or character traits. You came in to deal with the negativity. So what makes you positive is not the reason you're here. So when you see a child who's really bright, and that child gets all the praise for being smart and doing well in school and all of these good things, he's getting all of this praise, it's a good thing for the development of his self-image and his self-love. But that's not why he came into the world. His being bright is a tool that he was given to accomplish his tikkun. The same thing would apply to these volcanoes. People have interfered with that progress of expanding the desire to receive. And the result, we look around the world today, there's significantly more passion in the world. People are passionate about Donald Trump. Some hate him, some love him, but they're passionate. And all you're seeing with the volcano in Hawaii and the volcano, whatever you're talking about in Yellowstone, what you're seeing is that passion, that human activity passion, that is not bringing people together but is separating them, because I'm right and the other guy is wrong. It's being manifested almost immediately in our generation, because time is shortened. And so you're seeing the effects right away. Now, why was it in Hawaii, and why was it in Yellowstone? And I'm sure it's happening in other parts of the world, but we don't hear about it. We don't really follow it. Did it come into the headlines and, oh, I noticed it, like you noticed it and I didn't? You know, it's all part of the individual tikkunim.
Thank you.
Sorry, I don't have a deeper answer to the question.
I figure it had to do with man's actions. I guess that's what I was asking. I knew the volcano Hawaii, you know, was part of the United States, and then this year was part of the United States too, so I knew what it was. To me, it had something to do with, you know, our country and maybe the actions of our people. And so that's kind of what I was wanting to know, if you had some insight on it. Because the way the scientists were talking on TV, they were like really concerned about it, you know. And they kept calling it the sleeping giant, being awakened. That's how the term. I guess it's what caught my attention is the terminology they were using. Like it was a giant asleep, and all of a sudden, what's waking it up? And so I thought, well, there's a spiritual, must be a spiritual thing to that, something, you know.
Well, if you remember, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is what stopped the immigration ban when Trump was first elected, his first executive order.
And that was Hawaii.
And the court case came out of Hawaii, I think. If not the first one, the second one did.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it was in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal, the Western Court. And Hawaii is part of that Western Court.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's a linkage there.
Mm-hmm. I was just curious, especially what they were using. Like I said, the word they were using kind of caught my attention. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope you all have a beautiful evening. And tomorrow we have the 4:30 NOAA class, which I think we're getting into some very interesting areas, having to do with the Tower of Babel. And the 7 o'clock class will be a Zohar class for the Parasha of Chukat. And I highly recommend everybody go to the synagogue this Shabbat, because this is the Shabbat where we learn about eliminating death. So have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. You also.
Shalom gadol.
Shalom.
Shalom to all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Bye.